that for all my time. So the option is a broken body that could be paralyzed permanently versus an opportunity in a new body and forget who I was and work my way back to my memory banks by conditioning myself in that time frame to now. The only reason I took this body instead of the Ethiopian body was because I was familiar with all the anguish and frustration that it had already gone through, so I didn't want to start all over forgetting my brain, to start all over how to learn to eat and do all different things. I was familiar with it already, but it's broken, it ain't moving. It's dead.
What assurance did you have you were going to be able to repair that body? That's where the courage came in, because at that time you didn't have any assurance did you that you'd be able to repair your body.
No. It's when I accepted to work with it. I could feel the numbness rising up all up to my nose. By the time it got here, I realized if the numbness went past my head, I would be totally dead.
So you had only a certain amount of time in order to make that decision. Otherwise, it would have been made for you.
Yes.
And I run into people that say, I don't like to make decisions. I'd like to have them made for me. And I said, well, I don't.
The decision I had to make was to feel or not to feel. So I grabbed a hold of my hand, and remembering cowboys, when they take bullets out of them, they bite on the bullet and the guy heats up the knife and dig them out. I am numb like crazy from my foot going up to my head. I couldn't feel anything, so I grabbed my hand, I put my finger in my mouth, and I start biting. That's how I come to discover pain is a friend. And when I saw the picture of altered states, I laughed because you're beating the wall to be human. So I bit and bit till I felt the first sensation of pain, and I felt the first sensation, the numbness started to descend back down. But you know something? The numbness didn't go below the heart. It stayed right here, from the head back. My finger and my mouth. By that time, the policemen had arrived with the ambulance, and they were putting me in the ambulance to carry to the hospital. The interns are busy talking, and I tell you this much, if ever you're in an accident, and a siren is going to get you to the hospital, it'll kill you faster. But that sound was going through my whole body, tearing up every sensation, but I'm biting to stay alive. Got to the hospital, and they're pulling me up in their lap. Up comes this nice little young lady, all dressed up in white uniform, and holding a big mandolin. What's your name, sir? Where are you from? What's your name? You got to do shows. And I'm hearing all the questions put up to me. And the guy says, no, it's this guy. I think that's not the answer. Let's get it
up. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
So just say, could we take care of this matter later?
They rushed me into the emergency room there, and I'm sitting waiting for the guy to bring up. And along comes the elevator, and the door opens right next. Like I'm hearing this, the elevator door open. All steps are this doctor. He's about 64 years old. And he looks at the guy. He says, "This guy is dying." And he pulls away this scalpel and sticks me right under the ribcage to where they are. And he says, "Young man, normally I go on longest elevator, but the other one from my office, from the surgery department, is stuck, so I was supposed to walk and come to this one." And I'm looking and saying, "You think so, huh?" This is perfect timing, man. You don't know what the timing is. Everything is so... Then I began to see all the other places in my car. This is perfect timing for him to be there to be involved in. So I closed my eyes and I said, well, I didn't have the slightest notion of my injury, but in my mind, fixation of attachment to this fantastic thing. My business came up in my mind. I have to be open in the morning because I got 3 girls there to go and they need to be given in the direction. So in my head, I'm saying, well, I'm going to get up at 7 o'clock to get up and go to the store. So I'm repeating, I see a clock in my head and the long arm at 7 and the short arm at, no, long arm at 12 and the short arm at 7 to remind me it's 7 o'clock. And that's how I close my eyes looking to wake up Matthew programming. In my head, I heard this clock going, bing, 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 7 o'clock, wake up Adana, bing, 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 7 o'clock, wake up Adana, bing, bing. So I'm doing everything in my hands to move around, and open my eyes, and all of a sudden I hear three guys on the left side of my hand say, "What if you go and die now, you can die?" I let out a yell, "Who the hell is dying?" I see the doctors there, standing there, and I see my friend, my lawyer, standing there, and I said, "How are you going to describe my life?" Totally ignorant of where I am, thinking that my lawyer got in the house. It's just 7 o'clock Thursday morning. This happened Wednesday night, isn't it? It's just Thursday, 7 o'clock in the Thursday morning. Today is Saturday, 8 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of things, and this is the comment. All right, I'll sleep tomorrow and I'll take a rest. Well, I closed my eyes and plunk. Next morning I woke up at 7 in the morning, it was 10 o'clock. My doctor is there standing with a big meter and comes over and says, "Mr. Lee, you're coming out of that state now and you're going to feel pain. It's going to be very, very nerve-wracking. And you're going to have to withstand it. So you can give you morphine injections to try to get bones broken in two different places. Every bone is broken place. It's called mental health come from fracture, that you know that after that we don't come from it." So I look at him and I say, "Doctor, I don't want no drugs in my body." Totally ignorant of what I'm saying, but in my own mind I'm laboring on my masterful yoga training, meditation, and all my kung fu training, but that doesn't have a bad thing with your body broken. So I don't want no drugs. And he looked at the nurse, he said, "Nurse, your friend said I'd like to give it to him. If he doesn't want to, then so he got to that day." And she looked at me, she said, "You don't find a worthless thing to talk, huh? Do it." "Nurse, I don't want him." "Okay," she said. And there I am, and within the hour, the pain starts to come out. And I'm groaning and I'm groaning. And she looked at the needle. "You know what, nurse? I'm fighting." Well, I reach over to the pillow and I get it between my feet and I'm groaning. For 3 to 4 hours, and I'm groaning in the morning and I'm fighting again, she's putting up needle. I'm perspiring like crazy. I thought she told me that, but I don't get me that needle. And I'm reaching the state where I'm black out. So, I rather black out than to take the needle. So, and I reach that space, all of a sudden, I can see the whole room of the hospital start shifting. All the beds are disappearing, and I'm looking down the corridor from my bed like this. Down the corridor, I see a woman walking towards me. I'm shaking my head to get the picture. Finally, the woman comes and stops at my bed. But then I recognize the woman. She looks like a statue of Virgin Mary in South America from the church where I grew up in, where I was studying to be a priest. And it's the same shape, same, but her eyes are closed. It's in this position. And me now, in my craziness, I said, "Please, Mother, open your eyes. Please, Mother, open your eyes." You never know when you're crazy, you know when you're sick. What goes on? Anyway, the eyes open and looked straight into my head, and that's why I discovered it safe, so I realized people are very demented with consciousness. Don't talk with the mouth, they just transmit thought through the pressure of the consciousness. And she looked at me, and she said with the eyes, "You will be well, but not dramatically." And that was the funny answer. I can feel as she started to disappear in front of me, she got smaller. The pain was going away from my face, the numbness all coming down my chest, right down my hands, right up to the foot. As soon as I got to the toes, I let out a yell, man. I twice the Lord of the Tarzan. You know Tarzan is a yell? I'm well, I'm well. By that time, All the doctors and nurses are from London. This guy's crazy. Let's get him in much water. They put all kind of units to check. I'm well. They hooked you up. All the readings of my biological functions are normal. Except, and that's the dramatic part, my bones are broken up still. I didn't heal. Now, if my bones are healed and the normal biological functions were all normal, this would be dramatically, they will be well dramatically. But then, to be well dramatically, I'd be the guinea pig for all the different research groups, and I'd be there at Ripley Beneath NASA place. Like, you know, they wanted to find out how in the hell you can get your bones pulled back so fast and what is going on. So,
besides the National Enquirer haven't decided yet.
Yeah, right. So, but I was well biologically, all everything was functioning except the bones. I had to learn that lesson by being in the class and learning about solar nutrition and losing weight. And that was the process of learning the year.
I've never had solar nutrition if
you've
been here
than
I have.
So
that's the reason I've been
here. I've
been here 9 months.
But now, has Yogananda
reincarnated? Yogananda made a statement before he left the body to go on vacation. My time has come to go on to do other work. I'll come back in 200 years to see what you've done with my work. So from 1955, add 200 years, what year would that be? Yeah. No, 1952, I'm sorry, 1952.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 2152, you will come
well,
back.
Well, I'll be here.
Well, where will you come back? Will you come back born in India or born in America as a Hindu, studying to be an astronaut? That's what we all think. That's what I'm asking you. Will you come back as a Hindu? Or will you come back as an American? A Hindu born in America being an astronaut?
On
January 6th?
Yeah, on March
15th. March 15th. Yeah. March 9th.
Almost right.
Yeah, 21, 52. But you see, he looked down the corridor of time and saw the many civilizations and many people waiting to be born to be realized. So I know when he says he's coming back in 21, 52, 200 years, he's coming back highly capable of fitting into all advanced technological existence. And our advanced technological existence will be space travel. Now, when he was in the body, our brothers and sisters of the other types of bodies used to visit him. So he isn't a stranger to the sulfur body, silicon body, and the methane body brothers. He was in a carbon-based body, and he demonstrated a non-decomposition of the carbon-based body, so he has total freedom to travel through all the life forms. But he will come back primarily to see what we are doing with the process of what we are versus who we are. That's why they came into the body. They came to teach what you are, and that's who you are. So when he comes back, he's going to see how much we have evolved into what we are versus who we are.
Did you say come back?
Do
you mean come back in a physical sense?
Do
you mean in any other sense besides
the
physical sense?
He has three options. To come back through the uterine canal,
or manifest as a in the body as an astronaut from another planetary galaxy visiting the Earth in an exchange program. Or visible and invisible at will within this time frame of our power based body. These are his options.
But I mean, couldn't he perhaps materialize right now in front of us if that was something that he wanted to do right at this moment?
I'll quote my brother.
Well,
you
saw Adano after that.
It happened as a dream. And my brother said this: those that have eyes to see, let them see. Those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Many of us have had parents who are unaware of the being born with eyes open to see through the world. Through the fixation and the wrong programming, they put the food in the mouth that turned down that condition. It's called salt or sodium chloride. We're trying to inform the parent, don't do that to the child, because you don't know what being is coming in and is bringing back that total awareness to see truth. And we can block it, and then they have to work to come through it. We're trying to prevent that from occurring, because we do need the child to carry on its inner consciousness and to move on to higher states of evolution. So we don't want the parent to make that mistake. Among Oriental parents, they don't do it because they're already conditioned to not put salt in the milk. That's an old tradition. But in the Western man, he didn't know that. But it's written already in your biblical writings by the man Jesus, who is the brother who said, when the salt has lost its savor, where will it be savored again? He was making a statement in reference to the third eye, but nobody understood it. But he left them with an indication that the salt is a major factor that turns the eye down, not turns out. Then he said, when the eyes are single, now the technique now, the whole body is full of light. Meaning, if you close and start observing, and not trying to analyze, the cellular structure will reveal its atomic configuration within you. And the light is shining in the darkness at the constriction pattern of the cellular form. And the light itself is the atoms, and the form is the pressure or the air surrounding the atoms, making it look like tissue by the velocity. Then you, the consciousness in the form of oxygen, will wonder what you are. But let the light so shine, that means don't panic. You just watch all these atoms glow from the oxygen that you put to the liquid. And let it shine before men. That's the only people that are going to be conscious that something is happening inside of you, more so than an animal or a tree. But they will see the good work. That is the length of time you spent to observe your internal atomic structure and not try to change its internal behavior with your intellect. And that's what they call the good works. Then the end product would be the capacity to monitor the atom by the spoken voice. So let your light so shine before men, your glow from the fastness of your skin, day or night. But then you see the good works, the length of time you spend to integrate the consciousness with the sonnets and the atom, and glorify the Father which is in you, meaning they will come to grips with their own reality, but they are cosmic atoms operating in the same time frame and don't have to panic anymore as to what they are. What you are is not who you are. Who you are is an illusion. What you are is permanent, it's immortal, and you're not going to face. So it can come back and forth to help others who are still living in their hoop. So when you're going to say, you come back in 200 years, in 1952, who are you coming back to look for? The what's or the who's?
What's.
Is that the answer?
Where would someone like Reverend Linda, so I know that there's no place to come. So, but I have to use those words because I don't have other words to use. But when he goes on vacation,
mm-hmm.
he goes
in the night. But then, have you got the eyes to see? That means, is your convex vision operating for you, or is it still operating with your concave vision? Concave vision is, you look at the wall, and that's as far as the vision will allow you to see. Convex vision is looking through the wall, so it's transparent like a piece of glass.
Succeeding.
In French they call it clairvoyant, to see clearly true, clear truth. In psychic terminology, prophetic, or the third eye, which simply means in scientific language, the convex vision is not turned off, it's turned on, and you can see through, and seeing through is what we call the invisible range. This is the visible range of act. It's operating at 186,000 miles a second, therefore you look at it and see it. Those who are operating at 187,000 miles a second are invisible, but they are not non-solid. But they are invisible. They can satisfy all your fixations about your existence by slowing down from 187 to 186 and let you touch, as Jesus did to Thomas. He says, come touch, make sure. He says, okay, yes, I shall. Bye. I'll be back. When you need me, nothing will happen. So Thomas went through his schooling, left and went to the place called Goa, and this way he passed out of the body and went on vacation. The people in Goa, the temple, they have his body. It doesn't rot. And to this day, people go there to Goa to see for that temple. But all his other disciples were going to do the same thing. Some of them did some unusual things to show. Once you arrive at the what you are instead of who you are, the whole universe is open. But there's no need for boasting or showing off, because we're all brothers and sisters. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to remind you what you are. And see, that's what he came to show us. Because Big Daddy is going to always be here, and Big Mama is always going to be here. And we are the children of the Hare family. Mrs. Hare is Muck. And Mr. Hare is Pat. So they call him Pat Hare and Mat Hare, and the baby is called Behare. So we are the Behare children of the Hare family. H-E-R-E is the surname, and the father is Pat Hare, and the mother is Mat Hare. It means more of Hare and father than Hare. No boundary line for the father, and no end to the supply of mother. And the child is us. That's why it's a come let us make a manifestation of the pregnancy, the limited fixation, the joy of production. And when we come out, all we were told to do, go forward, Xerox your copy, but don't try and own anything. But enjoy it because you can. But don't try and own it because it belongs to us. So to this day, I can't own nothing. I can only enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to live. And that is what I am. You are the same, you just got that. Recognize it. None of us in this room own a single thing in the universe because we have a mess. In a crystallized tissue form called body or living soil. And for that reason, this individuality. Take away that 14-pound pressure for spirits from the surface, and we all go back into the unified field. One big breath. But that's the physics behind it, but that's the spirituality and the experience. So when you begin to realize that there is no bad person here, there is no bad daddy or bad mommy, they're all playing their roles. And I love it.
What's the difference between, you said, 187,000, if you have a solid body that can't fit, but what about
the 187,000 miles per second,
yeah,
the speed of darkness.
What about the people that don't have a solid body? The average person that goes on vacation.
They're solid.
They're all solid?
You can't see it.
Then what's the difference between Yogananda and someone else that goes on vacation?
Very simple. Some people can only go to a certain speed. Others can go at any speed. So when we stop being visible and our chemical mechanism is shut down and it starts decomposing, the decomposition is an indication that we haven't mastered the other two speeds. That is the speed of the electrical field and the speed of the magnetic field. Therefore,
what is the speed of the magnetic field?
We are decomposing.
Yeah, but what's the speed of the magnetic field?
They're operating in 187,000 per second.
What's the electrical field?
187,000 per second.
I mean, there's two different.
We haven't mastered those, we're still in the 186. That's
so the electrical and magnetic has been no different from the speed?
They're faster, 187.
They're both.
Do you
see
electricity in this room? Do you see the magnetism in this room? But you see the chemical in this room?
Wait, you can see electricity if you look at a television set and see the electron level. You can't see the magnetism.
That's 186.
You feel the magnetism?
186.
That's the luminous reaction.
The luminous reaction to electricity.
You don't see the photon, you see the luminous reaction. That's why Mr. Einstein said, light is a Jekyll and a Hyde. It is a particle or a wave, and that Indian scientist, when he heard those same statements by that Swami, he called those statements antiquated Einsteinian nightmares. Antiquated Einsteinian nightmares, that scientist that told that Swami his ideas were antiquated Einsteinian ideas. He called particle wave measures. He was looking at quantum functions and quark functions and string action functions. He couldn't accept that these ideas have any importance in today's technological understanding. Well, Swami looked at him and said, you're a man of no ideas, you're a dog. And you know, to this day, his wife and all the family are publishing and advertising. They would like to apologize to that Swami because 10 minutes after the Swami walked out of the consularium of the International Congress of Physicists in India, this guy would bring this 10 minutes after. And he's still doing it up and up.
The guy that said his ideas were antiquated?
Yeah, he called the Swami's ideas antiquated and stinging nightmares. Because they're stupid. In this today, laws of physics, we are much more advanced than that idea that he's trying to promote to tell us how physics works. And the Swami looked at him and said, you're a man of no ideas, you're a dog. And walked out of the Congress. And to this day, his wife is advertising in on TV and everywhere, trying to apologize. They will openly apologize to Swami wherever he is. But you can't find him.
And what is his problem now?
He's sending
the guy
in 10 minutes, as soon as the guy left the room,
He's looking human. Well, up to now, he still looks human. But the moment is over, from then on, in English, I laugh. And Gupta said to me, why are you laughing? I said,
spelled out backwards.
Spelled out backwards. And he started to laugh. I said, yeah. The guy's brain is switched in his own ideational patterning by calling the Swami a man of no idea to antiquated, meaning what the Swami had to believe in was antiquated ideas. He just reversed his statement and said, you're a man of no ideas, meaning a manifestation that doesn't think. You're a dog. You reverse the God. God says, come let us make a manifestation in our own image and likeness. Then we gave it the power to do that. It's very, very painful of to do, but he needs that lesson. And I will put it this way. When I get that report 6 months from now, which I think is going to happen, he is going to be the best heir apparent to that Swami's ashram, wherever that Swami is living. Because the Swami will take off and go do something else and leave him to be in control of his consciousness. But then, he wouldn't go wrong denying Einstein's ideas of being antiquated by mirrors.
You'll have acquired a little bit of humbleness, won't
he? You'll know that Einstein wasn't so dumb either.
He'll be perfectly normal, except he'll be serving the devotees kibbles and bits.
But he's got to learn that lesson too.
A methane body, and let's just talk about it.
You are a carbon-based body, do you know that?
Yeah.
Now if you were, what is the quality of a carbon-based body?
It has a very slow vibration curve.
Would you agree with that, Mr. Berkshire?
Same. You have much more options in the state of the carbon-based body, and you don't have those options in the state of the other body. It's because carbon is, at one end, a dirty old coal stuff that can't get into soap, and the other end is diamond under pressure.
Mm-hmm. Now, a silicon body, is that object on the wall there? See that? What do they call that?
Glass.
What is it made of?
Silicon.
Is it transparent? Alright. Carbon. That is transparent, what would you call it? Well, which of the two will cut each other? Then the silicon body is those angels which you were part of before you grew. The sulfur body is very powerful in terms of explosion, but it has an odor. And all those who have encountered space brothers often refer to some of them are very, very noxious when they walk out of the room. And then there's the methane that's super explosive. That means the percentage of the element predominates their mechanism, but their capability of lasting longer versus permanency and the process of arriving at permanency, the carbon takes priority. Silicon cannot be permanent, but it can sure last a hell of a long time. By no matter how you break glass, it will last. It won't collapse on you. But it doesn't have a sense of permanency because it can be broken, it can be cut by a diamond. But it can last. That window can last there for thousands of years if nobody never hit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, the wind wouldn't do that, aren't they? But you take a diamond and it'll cut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we say, that's a silicon body. Now, a sulfur body
because sulfuric acid is inside of your bathroom. There's a lot of things with that. But it still would not outlast. No amount of sulfuric acid is going to them. Then you have the methane, which is a supercharging gas. That, again, would not burn out diamonds. Now we have the carbon-based body. That means our body, specifically, predominantly, the element that regulates us is carbon. We, at one level, which we call the charcoal, simply means our sense of awareness is turned down to the level where we don't know what we are. We have to go through the uterine canal to be born. We have to take the chances of being thrown out in order to be a winner. Sulfur bodies did not do that. They were made spontaneously by a man performance, which we call drafting. Sulfur bodies and silicon bodies and methane bodies were all drafted. So come, let us make man in our own image and likeness, male and female, created them, and breathe the breath of life as spontaneous creativity, and go forth, multiply, have dominion of the universe. But then we started a Star Wars, because we thought silicon is better than sulfur, sulfur is better than methane, and we start arguing among ourselves, and we blew it all apart. So the Vedas have a story that goes like this. The Devas were battling with the Asuras, for the galaxies of the universe, and they were both using the same mantra. The Asura mispronounced his mantra and blew himself apart. To this day, they think that's a bunch of phony baloney. We know sonic resonance can break glass. Mr. Producer did it, and a lot of people have done it in the carbon base body. But then with the silicon base and salt, you can do it very fast. Now, since we were in those bodies, we have a memory of the power to control matter by our voice, but we can't own anything. That was our anguish. We fought among ourselves to own the universe, only to find it can be done. So they call that the Battle of Lucifer and the Devil, the revolution of the intellect and individuality to the memory bank. But God put the whole thing together to laugh because that's the most. You have to test yourself. How do you test yourself if you don't test yourself? How do you know if you're great if you don't test yourself? So we do that. But we have to do it in a role of being drafted and have to go through the revolution of trying to own and find out there's nothing to own. Then we're given the opportunity to correct it as the compensation. So we are told, and that's the second creation of this, the case we say, God create the second creation, which is normally called the carbon-based body, as a volunteer. If you volunteer in this carbon-based body, they ain't telling you that it's permanent, and you don't know it's permanent, until you have to go through to find out, and your brothers and sisters who will come to prove it to you that it's permanent, that's all shut down, so you don't know anything about it. You're going to volunteer to clean up? Yeah, Dad, you're going to volunteer. Okay, give you this carbon-based body. Now get down there and clean up your mucky heads and straighten out this act. You don't own a single thing here other than to function and enjoy the environment. So we volunteered. But which of the two types volunteered? The vicious type or the non-vicious type?
Side.
The vicious type running to correct it because they knew they were responsible for mucking up the whole thing, and so they're rushing to correct. Now, in the process of correcting, they agreed not to recall their memory banks, to use the power of miracles and powers like that, but to go through the agony of a birth canal, which don't guarantee any way that they may come out. They gotta work their way, get rid of their hostility, all their frustration, and all the gimmicks that lead to the most criminal mind are all locked up at the sperm level. But winners are born, so all your hostilities are phased out at that level. And when you come out, you're among a bunch of winners, then you gotta respect each other, but in a carbon-based body. You're not coming out by the direct manifestation of the spoken word, you're coming out by the long process of self-evaluation through the uterine canal, and you have no guarantee if you don't work your way out of it. Good. Winners are born, that requires a vicious type to do. But viciousness isn't a bad function. It is just an over-abused condition of not knowing what you want. You come out. You got it. But we're in a state of panic because why? There's no sense of permanency here. Everything is threatening us to go away too fast. We fall asleep or forget who the hell we are. In our silicon bodies, we never had that kind of a conflict. Nothing like that goes on in the psychic mind and all this stuff. They're totally open. All going on. Well, here is a carbon-based body, like a charcoal, that's all shut down. Temporary, that permanent. And so, we go through this process of being left out, feeling sorry, oh my gosh, I'm getting old, and we want to commit to it. But then our brothers come who have mastered it, who understand what it's all, they come down. To take on their role and show faith. You don't have to panic. The whole role is very simple. Act out what the creative consciousness has set up as an intuitive function in you and live what you say. That's what I call the spoken word, the will of God. To him that overcometh, I'll not send forth a second time, but to make him a clear and also God. Live what you say and don't panic. So we're put into that state now. In the past 1,000 years, 2,000 years, many of the carbon-based bodies that have volunteered to come in and work with it have achieved this cellular permanency, which was the thing that the other bodies realized they couldn't bring about. And the permanency was non-decomposition. There are over 366 case histories of that accomplishment. And so the carbon-based body is here accomplishing it out of their viciousness by suppressing their viciousness by learning to be humble. So there is no need to be showing up. Humility is the process to accomplish it. You got that straightened out, so what happened is this. Our brothers and sisters who are looking on, who are in the other type of bodies, well, they aren't too vicious and they aren't too suspicious, but they're very, very doubtful as to if they will ever going to make it the way we are behaving to ourselves. And if they come in without any way to be competent to cope with the situation, then they lose their ability to have their higher self work. So they're looking for two opportunities. One, they know and observe that over 366 people have achieved it already. So they'd love to come in and correct it themselves. But they don't want to take the chance of going through the uterine canal because they've seen how their lifestyle has forced husband and wife to do all kinds of things and non-husbands and wife to offer everything. And so they are leery of taking the chance. Now, if we, the individual, don't want to accept the anguish of living the daily life, we will feel threatened. And then we will want to go off into a nebulous state of fixation. They would use us as a telephone booth. And they call that walking. Now, that's not bad. I'm not there to criticize you. I'm just showing you what you mean to yourself. It's called a walk-in or channeling. They come in to use us, and but they can't stay us because there's no permanency in using a telephone booth. You can use the telephone booth, but you can't sleep in it. So even though they come to the talk, all they can talk about is things are coming in the future that you, the brain, in a carbon-based body, in the charcoal level, ain't able to cope with because you can't see the future and you feel left out. Life is too miserable. But as soon as you get past that stage, life is beautiful. They come in to give you some kind of a nebulous consolation that they can see the future for you and tell you how to cope with it, only to find that you're being bamboozled by your own illusions. You're still looking for something from nothing. If you haven't mastered the idea of focusing in the now. But we're not here to condemn them. That's we're here to recognize what they're doing. We accept them for where they are. Now, when we don't make ourselves susceptible to that kind of a weakness, they have to come in now with their technological advancement to convince us that they're interested in making an adjustment. So they flip in with equipment, which is our spaceship. Moving out from the 186,000 miles a second of being invisible in the sky and dropping down to 186,000 miles a second to be visible to the sea. A solid object that will bump from one speed to the next in a split second. So people who have seen spaceships, even Yogananda used to come in, will tell you, they are not non-solid, they're totally solid, but they operate at a speed that we will not comprehend at this moment. Technologically, the silicon, the sulfur, and the methane bodies are only 3,500 years ahead of us technologically. Biologically, the 365 people who have mastered this non-decomposing state is 33,000 years ahead of them. So it's a matter if they want to trade technology for the psychophysiology transformation of trusting in the now. So we have done it already. We have already proven that we can slow down the brain and do everything to accept the normal transformation of day-to-day living. They would have to want to exchange their technical knowledge of validating for us the things we have done through the mechanical process and the non-mechanical process. So that's where we are right now.
Can we really help those people achieve that, or do they have to become carbon body?
They have to enter the uterine canal. That means we have to provide them the opportunity to be in a inter-carbon-based body. We have to be informed not to muck it up so that they don't feel they will make the transition. So here in this body, many of the swamis and teachers are telling us early marriage is not a valid statement. Abraham, when he married and he had his first son, how old do you think he was?
76?
He was over 100 years old and he had Ishmael. And his second son was Isaac, so his wife was in her 70s. So you see, we are finding out that those type of bodies aren't really breaking down there. It's the fact that we don't know how to work with it. We're using a carbon-based body.
So what is the optimal time for having children?
All time.
All time?
You see, when you live with the illusion that the body will break down or get too old, these are labels you place upon yourself. And I want you to take a kinesiological test and show him, let him pick any number which he thinks is valid that his body should be able to have a baby versus what the body is supposed to be capable of doing.
Okay, now what's the first question? We're going to pick an age? Or?
Pick any age you think that is appropriate for a person to have a baby.
37?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was very good. That's stronger.
Try any other number.
45.
Was not.
Try any other number.
44.
Try another number.
36.
We're going to find
out. Try another number.
35.
Try another number.
39.
Try another number.
40.
Try another number.
41.
It interacts. Some years, he's got years picked out.
No, that makes sense. It's on.
It goes on.
42. Okay. 41.
40.
Normally, I don't
sleep
until
37. That's between 37 and 40. All the time I've done it before. Oh,
100.
Okay, well,
I'm not 18.
But
not
for you.
That's
it.
It was
18. Am I doing this for me or for general?
Can he try 18?
He's the person that asked the question. I'm going to show him that it doesn't matter what number he picks. They will vary in terms of his own fixation.
So. Okay, how about 150?
Go ahead.
He's fixated that. And Ratchet, no, of course, Ratchet fixated. Instead of just being weak, it goes. So what that shows to me is...
he's locked into the term years, representing his mechanism instead of revolutions around the sun.
Even more so, the Ratchet effect to me shows that because he's studying with you, he's attempting to comprehend this notice, but it hasn't got on a physiological, biological basis yet, only on an intellectual basis. So he hasn't accepted his immortality.
Okay.
Is that
That's funny because if he accepts carbon...
It switches back and forth. It's a
carbon... being the only element that has already the immortalness locked up in it of the diamond, where the hell is it going to go? And how old can it get in order for it to do this? So you see, the scientist that doesn't know his own science.
Well, at a biological, not at his mental level, he knows this is true. It's just the biological level has a lag between it, doesn't it? I mean, that's why we're all here. Because if we knew it, we'd be sitting where you are now. Right? And not stumbling through.
Measure the kinesis, which is a body ability to talk the truth of its own structure. Okay. And pick any number, but don't lock into your previous fixation. See how your body can apply itself to reproduce itself.
Okay, 800 revolutions.
Okay. 600
revolutions.
Yeah. You're good.
700.
I know what he's doing.
900. 1,000.
My 1,000 was stronger.
I don't.
2,000.
2,000 stronger, yeah.
3,000.
3,000 stronger, yeah. He's getting stronger by the thousand.
7 million.
Couple
million.
150.
150?
150.
150. Weak.
4,000.
No, wait, no. No, I think your laughter might
have. It's going to take you 150 years just to get past this. Okay.
Go back to three. What was the high
number?
The kinesiology
will prove you that your solid is what makes you weak or strong, and you don't accept what you are, you're going to have to live with fixation. This opportunity to have a carbon-based body, and by the table of elements, it shows that all that is around. Carbon contains the permanency of the diamond already locked in to the pressure that it has to confront. So it's already immortal. To worry about if you will be immortal with your body is not valid after the cellular structure already communicates within the atomic makeup of the carbon coming to be the diamond.
Revolutions are increased pressure.
You don't say you're 600 years old or 100. They told you already years will make you weak.
Years
the terminology. Revolutions is what increases the pressure ratio And the last is frequency. So if you only got from 1 to 10 in frequency, now that never changes, because from the time you're born in this present carbon-based body, you take the date of the month, the date of the
total
year, and the month itself. So you have the date, month, year. You total the whole thing, it will fall in 1 to 0, it is 10. That's frequency. If you take revolutions around the sun, from the time you're born to now, you're counting revolutions. These two will validate themselves against years. Check them out. And we'll see which is the strongest. Between revolutions around the sun and frequency.
Okay, this time we're going to, just like a computer, it's going to be... But first, let's do both first, individually, without setting that up. Take the revolutions around the sun.
Now?
You're so many revolutions now. Okay, now give me your frequency. Okay. Now, we're going to do the same test, but this is going to be a differential test, one better over the other one. So we're going to be comparing them. Okay, think of revolutions around the sun. Give me your frequency.
Right.
Are
we doing
that
just as hard?
Yeah, just as hard. First, actually, I could tell in the first test there was actually an indication stronger on the frequency, too. I just set it up as a...
But I'm always going to be a nine.
So 4,000 revolutions. So you can always have a job.
Try 150 revolutions in a minute.
Okay. Now it's gone. By just putting the frequency overlapping over it, it takes priority.
I said 150 revolutions in a nine.
So frequency is a better concept for him to understand.
Okay. You saw Starman. Mm-hmm. How many revolutions was he around the sun when he met the girl in Europe?
It's been a long, long time. It's been a long time since
he met her. He looked at her as a man of a 30s or 40s, because she was what, a woman of a 30s and a 40s?
Mm-hmm. Her fixation of what?
Her fixation of her husband who died, that Starman came in and took over the body and fit himself into the look.
Like
the age level of her husband.
Her unresolved trauma.
But then, he personally was what? Frequency, revolutions, or age?
Frequency.
He was a frequency. But he was a silicon body. And he came in, adapted to the genetic process of speeding up the formation of his body.
Okay, how do you know he was a silicon body? And another question, how come the silicone body and the carbon body have the most similarities being clear, but does methane and sulfur have a...
The methane body leaves an odor. The sulfur body leaves an odor.
The methane does too?
Yeah, it's a song.
You see, I was in San Antonio, and I met two of the editors involved with a book called Communion. And the man who wrote the book, his name is Whitley.
Whitley.
She needs to be a kid of the age.
She needs what?
She needs a kid of the age. But anyway, he wrote the book. And he was mentioning some of the functions of the different types of bodies.
Okay.
These two men were left there, and they were asking questions at Nancy Moore's house. And one man said, you're the first person to talk to these physics. He said, well, you know, a lot of people, and they don't talk about it. It makes more sense, because they have to do the research and go to the areas where some of the substances were found, and it validates sulfur and methane, but they didn't know why. And the silicon body leaves no odor. The sulfur body leaves an odor. The methane body leaves an odor. The carbon body will leave an odor, and then the order will change.
Just backing up to what you said, you went through that long description about the stories of the Vedas and the different bodies, and a whole long description. First of all, for channeling, you described when entities were channeling him, these were silicon body beings who, in a way, although this isn't all of it, were sort of choosing that way to come down to this plane rather than going through the birth canal and having their experiences that way. Am I paraphrasing that correctly? But now, do the methane and the sulfur bodies, they don't bother channeling? They don't need to channel?